Hello, Forgers, and welcome back to the Forged 20 podcast. I am your host, Zach Coldiron, and before we get started for this episode of Tales of Lodrienth, I'd like to shout out our sponsor. Big shout out to Comic Book Click, specifically Major Issues Podcast and Dirt Sheet Radio. They promoted us on their recent review of The Boys. If you guys could go ahead and check them out on Facebook, you can follow them at Comic Book Click. And you can also listen to the podcast on Spotify. So make sure you look up Major Issues Podcast on Spotify. And you can also check out Dirt Sheet Radio there as well. Now, without further ado, let's jump into this episode of Tales of Lodrienth. Last time, as you all were traveling to the cerulean beautiful city known as Brightstone, you were all ambushed by members of the Web. After a brief little scuffle with them, things calmed down when Lloyd ended up showing off his tattoo indicating that he was a part of their gang. After, you know, getting reconnected and all that stuff, you all went to their hideout that is located underneath the city of Brightstone. You found out that, they have been, smuggling Arcanium into the city of Eflar, and they have been trying to get, some crates onto a boat that they have. But they were unfortunately caught by the guard, and they abandoned the cargo. The cargo was collected and taken to a Golden Dragon's warehouse, where you all did a little bit of a heist-like mission, distracting all the guards, who seemed really dumb. And, well, you all successfully grabbed all this Arcanium. I think you guys stuffed some in a bag of holding, if I recall correctly. No? I don't remember.
Yes, yeah, I have half of the, 375 pounds in the bag of holding.
Also, may I interject, Zach?
Yeah, you may interject.
You gotta dumb down the world and the NPCs for your dumbass players.
Okay. I don't think you guys are dumb.
Well, no, I mean, like, even when you're a player, you're pretty much the same.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm trying to get better. This is good practice, right?
We're just like, we don't. Oh.
No.
Oh. What we do?
All right, now the dragon comes.
You all are ambushed by 20 dragons.
Oh, shit.
No, dude, the whole thing is you have to run away. No. We're going to fight the dragon.
Fucking you all in the goddamn the first campaign I run where you just were like, I turn a bag of holding inside out and shoot it with coins. So like, fuck.
Okay, hold on, that was a smart idea though.
Yes, I know it was a fucking it was an adult red dragon that y'all were supposed to fucking run away from, but then you're like, actually, and I was like, fuck, okay, I'll let it happen this one time because it's funny.
See if there was more than one.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
Yeah. Every dragon encounter. What do you think every dragon encounter I've ever done from now on is all fucking four or five dragons coming at you at once, and you're like, shit, I gotta run.
All right. So, as you all have hit the high seas, you all have been sailing for maybe a couple hours at this point. The seas are pretty relatively calm right now. Now, just a little refresher, you guys are just on a standard boat. It's small enough to fit a crew of 10, but also hold, you know, a couple of crates of cargo. You have Graham, who seems to be a former, like, friend or accomplice to Lloyd. He's the one steering and operating the ship at this time. So we're going to roll some random encounter dice. So, Dalton, why don't you do me a favor and roll me a d20, please?
Hell no. That's a 3.
It would help. Oh, my God. Oh. Okay. All right.
I need to change my dice. Hold on. I need to change. My dice have to change. This is going on for too long.
All right. As you all are sailing. Now, you guys did leave at night, so it's starting to become the early hours of dawn. You guys can see on the horizon, in these mostly calm seas, you can see a shark fin emerge from the water. As the shark approaches the ship, you can see that there is blood all around the water. And you can see that emerging from the water are seven merfolk. They look like to be very, very fish-like. They have, like, the fins on the side of their head. Very angled, kind of sharp features and bluish skin as they stab this, what appears to be a shark, and one of them turns it over and looks at you and points at the ship. What do you do?
How many days has it been? Has it just been like one day?
Just a couple hours. So far? This is like your first counter. It's about a 5-day total sail to the Isle of Ethelon. No longer. All
right. They seem hostile, right?
They're just looking at you for now. I mean, if you want to see if they're hostile, maybe roll an insight check. Let's see if you can see where their minds might potentially be at. You can't tell. I mean, you've probably ran into some merfolk on your travel before, but you can't really tell if they're being hostile or not.
I'm from.
You can see that one of them is starting to fillet this shark as it's floating there. And then one stays behind with the person flaying. So there's two people by the shark. The other, I think I said there were six, if I remember correctly. No, there were seven. So five of them start approaching your ship. But then suddenly you see them sink underwater.
We might want to speed up, get away from them.
Get away from what?
The merfolk that are approaching rapidly. They just went underwater. They might be doing one of two things. Either they're going to go underneath and poke holes in our boat to sink us, or, well, they might just try to go underneath and around us. But either way, we want to get the fuck away.
Okay. You guys don't have sight of them at this time, by the way. They are under the water, so you guys cannot see, you cannot hear what they are doing.
I turn to whoever's navigating the ship, and I tell them to fucking hurry it the fuck up.
You see, Graham says, "I'm going as fast as I can." And you look up; it's a sail. It's got sails. The wind can only take us so fast.
All right, we're doing this then. All right, we're about half mast right now. All right, we're dropping a full sail. We're not doing this any fucking half sail bullshit. Are we on a boat or are we on a ship?
So you are on a small, like, ship, very small. Like I said, fits a
crew of about 10. So it has two sets of sails then.
Yes, two sets of sails.
We're dropping all four fucking sails, and we're picking it the fuck up. I'm going to use my background as a sailor to help instruct and guide my allies, so that we can possibly get advantage on any checks we need to make for this shit.
Okay. All right.
So,
as you let down the sails, let's just roll me a survival check with advantage. If anybody else wants to help out, you can also roll a survival check, but you'd roll it without advantage. course, is the only one with advantage because of his background.
Oh my god. Okay, these dice are getting
12, 18.
Wet. I don't have fucking hand or I don't have muscle anymore, so it's all fucked up.
More so than 18.
Survival?
Yes, survival.
Don't count on me, boys.
Oh my goodness, a natural one from Lloyd. Okay, so Moros and Chorus, you guys are able to successfully fully activate all the sails on the ship. You can feel the ship is beginning to pick up speed. However, who has the highest passive perception out of you guys? I'm pretty sure it's Chorus.
I think it's me.
15 from Chorus. Lloyd is a 14. Moros, what's yours?
11.
11. So yes, Chorus, you notice this first. You can hear something climbing on the back of the ship.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, they're boarding us. The back of the ship. I'm gonna fucking turn around and start running.
Alright. As you start running... Oh, Morris, did you say you wanted to do something?
Morris follows.
Okay.
Right, he sees the alarm in his face. Mask.
Right.
Mask.
Let me get
the mask,
mask
changes form rapidly and confusingly.
Yeah, this is fine. This map will do. Maybe image address, so we're gonna do boat.
I don't. That's gonna come. Second page. Anytime I try to pull open the sheet on above VTT. It's stuck. What off to the side then?
Put you guys wherever you want to be on the map.
Alright, I said I was running to the back of the ship. So I'd say probably right about there.
I think there were two sails. Humans.
I can't get my character sheet to go away, so...
Yeah, you know, I had to pull it off to the other side because it's a little broken. I had to open up another tab. Being weird tonight.
I forgot what fucking stat block I used for this other guy.
Way to get it to go away is to refresh your page.
And then... we'll just use this. It's the other two. Okay. All right. Cool deal. Okay, so...
I followed the back.
What happened?
So I followed Chorus, so I'll just say I'm like a little bit behind him.
All right. And Chorus, as you're getting closer to the back of the ship, you can see three of the merfolk are climbing to the back of the ship. You only see three of them at this time. And you can tell they're all wielding weapons as if they are ready to go after you. So why don't you guys just go ahead and roll me some initiative?
Is it initiative?
Yes.
Ooh.
13. All right.
Fuck, I pulled up the character sheet.
Yeah, you gotta... It's so annoying. I don't know why it happened, but it did, so... All right. 19. Dice have redeemed themselves. I will keep these dice around for a second.
I think so. Yep. Okay. All right. That's so first up, Moros, you follow Chorus up to the backside of the ship. What do you do?
Oh, I'm first?
Yeah, you rolled a 20.
On my screen, it says 13.
Oh, really?
No, I rolled a 20. Yeah, that was from when we fought the goblins.
Ah, I see. Hold on. What did Lloyd get? 13? No. Well, this is right. All right, Chorus, then you're first. You're coming up near the backside of the ship.
You also rolled a 13. All right.
Sorry.
What do you do?
Going up on the backside of the ship, you said?
Yep.
What kind of weapons are they wielding?
Okay. You can tell that they both each they have a spear and some sort of scimitar.
All right then. Actually, I will do this the partway then. I will bonus action cast hex on, or not hex, hex, hexblade's curse, sorry, on this boy right here. Throw the bane symbol on him.
Nice.
That one right there. And then I will chuck chuck.
All right, let him fly, baby.
Natural 20.
Yeah, that hits. Roll me damage.
Ooh, all right. So 1d6, and then the second d6. Hold on. I'm throwing this. That first one's an 11. The second one's a 14. Because it's Hexblade, it takes an additional 3 damage. So that is, so 14, what is 11 plus 14? That's 15 plus 3, so, or 20, 25 plus 3 is 28 on the first attack.
Holy shit.
And then my second attack. Oh, it was almost another, it was almost 12. A natural 19.
Yeah, a 12 misses.
Okay.
As you see the other one go.
If that was a 19, that would have been right two by. Crits right back to back.
Ooh, that would have been crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right. My action, bonus action. Did I notice when I was, before I go any further, did I notice any that if any of them had any nets on them? Because they were just out and it seemed like they were fishing.
Roll me a perception check.
Seventeen.
So you can tell that these three didn't have one on them, but you do recall that you may have briefly caught glimpse of a net when they were trying to, you know, kill the shark.
Okay. I won't say anything for now then, because none of these guys have it.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about it.
Is that your turn?
That is my turn.
All right. Up next is one of the merfolk. It is going to be this one, who is relatively close to Graham, but also close to Lloyd. Okay. He's immediately going to run forward, jump up to the where the captain would steer the boat, and he's going to go, not after you, he's going to go after Graham, who is steering the ship. So he's going to stab him with a spear. Roll a 15. A 15 misses as Graham sees this coming, turns around, hooks his arm as if he's ready to like throw him and then do whatever he wants to do with him. But that is the merfolk's turn. Up next is one of the human companions that you guys met along your way. He sees that there are some people boarding the ship, and he's going to just dash over to right behind Moros. That's about all he can do on his turn. Next up is someone near the front of the ship who... What are they going to do? He's going to walk over to you, Lloyd.
Well, just let me know how I can help you. We don't know if more are going to come from the sides. We should be careful.
We should.
All right. That's all going to be his turn. Moros, it is your turn. What do you do?
Who is that next to me? I'm sorry. I had to get my mic set up real quick because it disconnected for some reason.
No, you're good. So this is one of the... You actually haven't gotten this person's name yet, but you know that they're the first human that you guys encountered when you saw him peeking around the tree.
Ah, okay. I'm going to run up the stairs to assist Graham. So Morris runs upstairs and then flanks Graham, and then let me see what I'm going to do here attack-wise. Moros is going to go ahead and he's going to use Nature's Wrath.
He can use spectral vines to spring up and reach for a creature within 10 feet of you that you can see. The creature must succeed a dex or strength saving throw, DC 14, or be restrained.
Okay. So DC 14, you said? Rolled a yes. 12, so that is a failure. They are restrained.
I'm going to then, for my little bonus action, let me see here what I've got. That's going to be it for Moros, actually. He just restrains that guy that's trying to attack Graham to keep him from pursuing him so Graham can get away if he needs to.
Gotcha. All right. Lloyd, it is your turn. What do you do?
It is my turn. Shit. Oh my god. There ain't much I can do. Not exactly a ranged man.
Well, you could do something. You could do other things with your turn.
Alright, yeah, I'll do some other things. I'm gonna try to see if I can maybe catch a glimpse of the other merfolk. Perception check. We'll look off the sides of the boats and see.
Absolutely. Roll me a perception
check. Off the side of the boat. So not the boats.
Main action for your turn. So we'll say you head, how far is it? It's about 25 feet to the edge of the ship from where you're at. You look down and you see with his spear and his scimitar at his hip, a merfolk who is beginning to climb the side of the ship.
Wow. Alright, yeah, I'm looking at him.
Okay, do you have any, like, a bonus action that you can use against him? You used your main action to do your perception check, so. And I don't know how much movement you have. I think you have 30 feet. So you'd have about 5 feet of movement still as well.
As a bonus action, actually, I might just. So you see this barrel next to me?
Oh yeah, or the one box? Full of fish.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Can I drop it on his head?
So as your bonus action, I'll allow you to do. We'll see if you can pick it up. It does have fish in it, so it's going to be a little heavy, so it's just a strength check.
No.
If you succeed the strength check, or dex check, no. Whatever you prefer.
I'm going to use my telekinetic movement.
Oh! Oh! That's fucking cool. Yeah, fuck yeah. Let me read you what your telekinetic movement does.
You can move an object or a creature with your mind. As an action, you can target one loose object that is large or smaller, or one willing creature, other than yourself.
For roll of cool purposes, I'm going to let you use your bonus action instead of your regular action for that. So we'll say cool. You pick it up with your mind. As you look at it, begin to focus on it, and then you just drop it. And you see him go, and he splashes into the water.
Cool.
All right.
Poor fair on a boat.
So that is your turn. Up next, climbing the side of the ship and emerging from the starboard side is a merfolk who's going to approach the goblin with a now peg leg that he had fastened himself up with after you all absolutely destroyed his fucking leg. the merfolk's gonna go up to him and try to stab him with his scimitar. Rolled a 13, which does not hit, so that is the merfolk's turn. Up next is the other goblin, who is going to use their bonus action to dash because of their little boots that they have, the little things they have strapped to him. Using the force, he's going to propel himself a little bit faster, and then is going to dash up to, with his other main action, to get closer to the other merfolk who's attacking Graham. Up next is the peg leg goblin, who's just going to take a swipe with his scimitar at the merfolk who just boarded the ship. A 10 does not hit. Up next is the merfolk that Chorus hit. Chorus, you see that it just runs towards you, and then it just runs right by you. It doesn't even attack you. You can take an opportunity attack if you like. Yes, no, maybe so.
Chorus?
Chorus?
Sorry, I had to deal with something with my dog real quick. What happened?
So the merfolk that you hit with your cleavers, it just ran right past you, so you can take an attack of opportunity.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we'll just... All right, fucking open it. Okay, that's a 25.
25? That hits. Roll me damage.
That's a...
Max damage.
That is the one, so that's 15 points of damage, because it has my Hexblade's Curse on it.
Alright, so, as you chuck your meat cleaver thing at it...
Can't throw it if he's running past me, so I'm just swinging it.
Oh, so you're just gonna swing it? As you swing it, you can see... You cut it. Where do you slice it at? I'm just curious.
If it's dying, as it runs past me, I'm going to, take the cleaver, and right as he gets next to me, I'll just swipe my hand real quick. He'll get about 3 more steps forward, stops, and then his head just tumbles forward.
As his head tumbles forward, it lands right in front of you. The head is looking right up at you. And it speaks, and this is super unsettling. Consider this being just got decapitated. It says, "Don't stop killing." And you see the face begins to relax as if it's entered a state of death. All right. Up next is Graham, who has some help on both of the sides. He is going to climb on top of the wheel, and he is going to... He lost a little bit of control of the ship, so he's going to try to regain control. Let's see. He rolled a 13, so he is able to maintain control of the ship, and he is steering it from basically backwards. I kind of got to steer this ship. Can you guys take care of this fish problem?
Moros nods towards him as he brings out the greatsword towards the creature.
All right. So, up next is the merfolk that Lloyd knocked down. As you see, it's going to recollect itself and use its movement to climb up and get next to Lloyd. It has to dash, because it had to use half of its movement. Because it does not know, it doesn't have a climb speed. Oh my god. Sorry, you guys listening to the podcast right now have no idea what Lloyd just typed into the chat. But it's funny.
Anyways, curse you, man.
Curse you, man. Anywho, it is going to go back to the top of the order. Chorus, you're up.
Chorus is going to drop his cleavers, and he's going to fall to the ground and, like, fall to his knees and grab his head and start screaming. And that will be his turn.
Okay. You all just hear him start screaming as this merfolk is now going to try to attack you, Moros. He is going to stab you, stabby stab, with a spear.
Is this the restrained one?
Oh, he's restrained. That's right. He has disadvantage on attack rolls when he's restrained. Yep, he has disadvantage. So he rolled... Ooh, a 10! So that misses. He is not able to hit you. That is his turn. Up next is the other human. A little bit older looking, white hair. He's the one who had the glowing laser sword. He's going to run up to the merfolk and take his sword down and slice it. Ooh, a 10 misses. That is going to be...
It's restrained, so wouldn't he have advantage?
Oh, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. 15. So he's going to take... Ooh, nice. 6. And then 5 points of radiant damage. Okay, so... Cool. Does a good amount of damage. As you see, the red sword that he brings down cleaves into the skin, searing the merfolk's, kind of scales. And you hear it let out a thrashing roar. You will all be sacrifices to Malik. As you see, he's getting ready, or at least trying to move his hands to cast a spell, but he's not able to. You can see he's now muttering an incantation of some kind. That is going to be his turn, however. Now, question, would he, at the end of his turn, I'm assuming he rolls to get out of that, right? I'm just curious.
He can attempt to, but he already tried spell, to attack. Sorry.
Okay, gotcha. I'm just talking about on his... Okay, so it's not like at the end of his turn.
At the end of the turn. Okay, I think it's the end of his turn. Let me check.
If so, I need to have him roll that.
See, at the end of his turn, so he can repeat the saving throw. 14. But it's at the end.
Okay, so 17. So he is no longer restrained. But it is the end of his turn. You're right. So he cannot do anything. But he's clearly preparing a spell of some kind. Up next is the guy who's talking to Lloyd earlier. He's going to go help out his buddy over here, the one-legged goblin. Going to slice at him with a scimitar. A 21 hits. Going to take 5 points of damage. All right. That is his turn. Now it is Lloyd's turn. Lloyd, this merfolk that you knocked down with the barrel, it clearly did some damage to him. Has some cuts on his head. You can see purple blood smeared down its face. What do you do?
Well, I don't like this dude.
I don't think he likes you either.
I don't like that fishy little smell he has. Got a stank Badoosie. I have to refresh the page because I keep clicking sheet.
I keep doing it too. I'll just refresh when I go to move.
I'm going to attack him. I'm going to pull out my sword and I'm going to slash and slash and slash until he is no more.
All right, go ahead, ma'am.
Roll it on. Yes. Chama.
Chama. Chama. That does hit. 19. Eight.
I'm nuking first turn.
Nuke it, baby. Let's go. You're gonna fucking... Let's do it. Okay. Yeah, oh my. Oh my god. Just tell me how you do it, brother. One fucking attack is all it took.
I brought my sword above my head.
And I swung with all my might, using my psionic boom in Giant's Blood.
Giant's Blood? Alright, so you completely eviscerate this one. It lays dead before you. I think you still have another attack. You have movement.
Yeah, I have movement. So I do have legs. I didn't lose them.
Not yet. There's a bomb beneath your feet. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, I'll go with it. I'll fucking go with it. I'm gonna be crawling at everything.
Curse you, Bale.
Alright, so what else are you going to do with your turn, man?
I'm going to move that 30 feet.
Alright.
Oh, that's alright. Yeah.
That is alright. Is that it for your turn?
No, I still got extra attack.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to throw my dagger.
Ooh, okay. At the one that is next to the one-legged goblin and the other younger human?
Yes. Okay, okay. Respectable.
18. Nice. That definitely hits. 6 points of damage. All right. This one is still alive as the dagger does pierce its scales right in its shoulder. It grabs the blade and pulls it out. Alright, is that it for your turn? Are you going to action surge, potentially?
No, I'm going to save it.
Alright, cool beans. Moros Omenborn, it is your turn, sir.
Alright, I'm going to take an attack action against the creature in front of me, the merfolk trying to cast a spell. I'm going to make two attacks with my greatsword, and I'm probably going to Divine Smite as well, but I got to hit him first. So. First attack.
Oh, nat one. As you cleave your greatsword, and it gets into the ship, and you pull it back out for your next attack.
Nat 20.
It is literally yin and yang, brother.
So bring the greatsword up, then arcing it down, it sticks into the floorboards of the ship. Moros then pries the sword out and then just decides, I'm going to plunge it straight to the guts of this creature. And as he plunges it in, he's going to cast Divine Smite as well with the damage. So let me roll the greatsword damage and I'll Divine Smite damage. 12, and this is doubled because of the nat 20.
Okay.
10. Double.
A double. Well, all right. What does it look like when you kill the fucking merfolk with your divine smite?
So, as he goes to like cast this spell, there's a sense of urgency. As Moros plunges the greatsword into the guts, the abdomen of this creature, he takes it and just with all of his might plunges it downward towards the floorboards, disemboweling the creature from his like midriff area down through his pelvis region, and everything just kind of flops out. Shut up as he does it.
Grody.
And then for his movement, he's going to jump over the railing here and jump down in front of the last merfolk on the back of the ship that he sees.
All right. Is that your turn, sir?
That is.
All right. Up. I went one too far. Actually, it's the turn of the merfolk that's right here in front of you. So he sees you coming, and he's just going to stick out a spear. Poke ya. 16? Let's adjust your AC. Do you have anything to make your AC a little higher?
Let me take a look, see. I do not.
Okay, you're going to take... Ooh, you're going to take 10 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
As it sticks the spear right into one of the... You have, like, some openings, like, in your armor, because, like, obviously flaps under. Just shoves right into your, like, your shoulder. The spear. That is his turn, however. Up next is the one that Lloyd just hit with a dagger. And it is going to pull out its scimitar with the dagger in the other hand. And it is going to, with its main action, try to slice at the goblin. And with its bonus action, he's going to hit with the offhand weapon, which is the dagger. So let's see. He rolls a 17. Ooh, okay. All right.
Sorry about that. I am back.
No, you're good. It takes a couple points of damage as you see the scimitar cuts open the stomach of the one-legged goblin. God damn it! Ow! As you can see, blood pouring onto the ship. And with his dagger, he's going to... Lloyd's dagger that he's going to plunge into the human's chest. Let's see what he rolls. Ooh, my goodness. Oh, shit. That's a lot of damage. Okay. Dealing a great amount of damage just right into the heart. Ah! You see the blade is stuck in his chest. He's not wearing armor. He's in kind of casual, like, cloth clothes. And he's gripping the blade and kind of stumbling backwards. That is going to be his turn. Up next is the goblin that was next to Moros. He's going to come down and go after the merfolk that just stabbed Moros and come with a jumping attack. Rolled a 16, which hits. Going to deal 6 points of slashing damage. That is going to be his turn. Up next is the one-legged goblin who is going to try to get his get back on the merfolk who just cut his stomach open. And he does not. He rolled a 7. That does not hit. So he slices with his short sword and it whiffs by. Up next is Graham, who is now going to hop back down and focus on steering the ship. And it is back to the top of the order with Chorus. You have screamed your heart out for the last 6 seconds. Do you continue to do that, or are you going to do something else?
As Chorus is sitting there screaming, he reaches up and he's going to grab his fucking horn, one of his antlers, and he's going to pull your loud snap. And he's going to turn, and as he stands up, his eyes are fucking glowing red. Just literally bloody flame, and he is going to rush this guy here and start stabbing with the horn.
All right.
So I'm going to, I guess, make this as like an improvised weapon. So
go for
it. Damage. But he is in a rage now. That is a 16 plus my strength. 16 to hit.
16 hits. Okay. Are you doing it with one hand or two hand?
Two.
Two? Okay. I'm going to come up with the damage on the fly. Let's do.
I was just going to run it as an improvised weapon.
Oh, okay.
Is, I believe, a d4 of damage.
Yes, it is a d4 of damage for an improvised weapon, so... I'll say, if you're doing it with two hands, I'll let you roll a d6.
Well, I already rolled a d4. I'll just take that for the first attack.
Okay.
So that's 5 points of damage on that one. And my second attack, I'm going to stab again.
Go for it.
That's going to miss, that's it.
Yeah, that unfortunately misses. Alright, is that your turn?
Yes, I don't think I can do any... I don't think I have any other bonus actions I can do right now. They're already X-Blade's cursed. Yep, that's all I can do.
Okay. Up next is the older human man with the glowing red sword. He is going to stay by Graham, but he's going to toss a dagger at the merfolk you guys are attacking. Moros, you just hear a whizzing right by your head. Oh my god. A natural 20. It hits the merfolk right in the head and deals 12 points of damage. Holy shit. It hits him in the head, but you can see that this thing is still alive. It's like kind of like rocking back and forth. It's on the verge of death. You could probably give it a paper cut and it would die, but that is his turn. Up next is the bandit that is over by Lloyd. Well, not bandit. That's the stat block I'm using for him, but the other human, since there are two humans, this is the younger one, 13 misses, unfortunately. And then it is Lloyd's turn.
Ooh. I run up. I'll swing my blade again. Ooh.
11 misses.
Extra attack.
16 hits.
Thank the gods.
Damage. Okay. As you slash your blade, it cuts the torso of the merfolk. Are you going to action surge? It's still alive. Or are you going to use any bonus actions or anything like that?
I'll just explode my attack.
Delayed explosion.
Oh my god. I'm going to let you describe how it dies with your psionic power. It deals enough damage to kill it.
Ooh, I swing my sword above my head, because, you know, I can't swing side to side. I got allies there. It slides right into his torso. And noticing that the merman is still alive, I charge my blade with psionic might. And, propel the force within his body, making his upper torso explode.
Oh, dude. As fucking blood and chunks of flesh begin to capture this area that is around the peg-legged goblin and the younger human male. As they are covered in guts. And they turn and look at you covered in guts. That was fucking sick. How the fuck did you do that? The human says to you.
I have the power of God on my side.
Oh my lord, Lloyd. Alright, is there anything else you want to do on your turn, man?
I'm just going to start walking to my friends here. Or no, I'm not walking. Oh wait, can't move because I've moved 30 feet already. Alright, no. Yeah, that's it.
Alright. Moros Omenborn. To you. Oh, he's muted. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
William. Sorry, I'm here. I thought I was not muted that whole time. When Graf said I have the power of God, I went an anime, but nobody heard it.
Bro, R.I.P. So,
yeah, sadness. But yeah, the merfolk who stabbed Moros. Moros is, the spear's still in him, I would assume?
And Moros, yeah, it's in your pauldron. In the crevices of your pauldron.
I'm going to grab it with my free arm, the one that's not currently holding the greatsword and stabbed. I'm going to grab the spear, and I'm going to pull the spear out with the free hand. And as I pull that spear out with the free hand, I'm going to then pull him in via the end of, you know, we're both kind of tug of war, and pull him in. And as I pull him in, I'm just going to fucking headbutt him and try to kill him with a headbutt and cave his skull in with my own skull. Why? Because why not? If he's at 1 HP, I want to do something funny. Alright, let's see. Unarmed strike. What did I roll?
I don't know. It doesn't show that you rolled anything.
Is it not showing my roll?
No, it's not. Just tell me what you rolled. I trust you.
Oh.
Let me refresh and see if that fixes it. Forgive me.
No, you're good.
Yeah, it just done a bunch of shit.
Oh, here it is. +7.
11? Ugh.
11?
Oh, I have 2 attacks, so I do it again. I headbutt him a second time.
Brother, that fucking hits. As you headbutt him, poof! It just falls backward with the fucking dagger in his skull. Splashes into the ocean. You can see his body floating in blood, a pool of purple blood beginning to come around the water, and you see emerging are a bunch of sharks who come to eat him.
Is Kovris next to me with, like, flaming red eyes currently?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm gonna keep my greatsword in my hand, kind of turn towards him and look at him, but that'll be the end of my turn. Just kind of last thing I'm doing is turning towards him a little bit just to see where he goes and what he does, because he's seen that look once before when he's prepared, but he doesn't want to, obviously doesn't want that to be what's happening, but he's going to be prepared in the moment.
All right.
Did you just send that body flying off the edge of the ship?
I did.
No, I'm asking if Moros did. That's what happened there. I didn't.
When he headbutted him that hard. Okay.
That's okay. Just double checking.
All right. You guys are out of combat.
Horus is diving overboard to grab the body.
Oh, there's some sharks eating it, but
he doesn't give a fuck. He's going for the body.
Okay.
He's taking the head off. He's going to use the broken horn, and he's going to sever the head.
Okay. The sharks aren't paying you any mind. They're just eating that one.
They got fucking no meat. They're
nothing to eat.
Ain't nothing to eat here. They know that.
Ain't that stupid. All right, so you're going to take his head. Let's just roll me a survival check, I guess, with advantage. It's a fish, so I guess you'll roll with advantage.
I'm taking it as long as it fucking needs. I don't care if it's pretty. That shit's coming off.
Yep, the first cut's super ugly. Try rolling another one.
It don't matter if the head comes off in pieces. It's coming off, is all I'm saying.
It is a fucked up fucking mess. You got, like, you're missing, like, some parts of the, like, the jaw's kind of hanging off now because you're using your horn. It's not the easiest tool to use, so it's fucking ugly, but you get a fucking mangled mess of a head.
And I'm going to swim back onto the boat. And I'm going to climb back up.
Alright.
Take that head, and I'm gonna grab the head I fucking took off earlier that started this whole thing. And I'm going to walk to the front of the ship. And I'm going to, with my daggers, impale the one head to the front mast. And then with my horn, impale the other.
Ooh.
Right to the mouth. And I am going to walk inside and talk to no one.
Okay. Well, Morris and Lloyd, before I move on to the next days of travel, is there anything else you guys would like to do? Would you like to speak to anybody after this?
Yeah, I'm going to pull Lloyd aside.
Send two messages.
After the whole thing's done and Coverus goes inside. I'm going to pull Lloyd aside. Lloyd, can I talk to you? In private. Lloyd.
I think Lloyd said BRB.
Hello? Oh. Well, okay. But then I just wait. He's in the bathroom, so Morris just kind of hangs out outside. Moros requested to talk to you, Lloyd.
Oh, yes?
Moros went inside. After doing some crazy shit, if Zach wants to inform you.
Yeah, Corus just went off and seemed pretty upset after the merfolk invaded the ship and went into a room on his own.
Yeah.
So Moros has to speak to you in private.
You were up by the towards the front of the ship, right?
I was, yeah.
You would have seen Corus walk by and impaled two of the merfolk heads on the front mast, one with his horn super mangled and the other with the dagger he had.
Christ. Alright, yeah, I'm gonna go.
So that is
Moros.
Okay. So we're gonna be standing probably towards the back of the ship near the helm, just to keep an eye on, you know, making sure the ship keeps being steered, and also, you know, we have a bit of privacy in this discussion. Lloyd, did you happen to see Corus earlier, after the merfolk attacked?
Not really. I was up towards the front, taking care of a few things, though him putting those heads up there was quite eerie.
He began to exhibit similar behaviors to the Owlin village. His eyes began to glow again, and it seemed that he was not necessarily in complete control of his actions, or at least in his insatiable bloodlust in that moment. I'll be honest, I thought for a moment that he was going to attack me next. After I had dispatched of the merfolk here at the edge of this ship, in this exact spot, I turned and looked at him, and I saw this fury in him. Obviously not of his own making, but still, it is not a good feeling to be on the other side of that gaze when he is in that sort of state. I fear for our lives, Lloyd. We are on a ship in the middle of the ocean with nowhere to go. And if he was to use a big flaming fireball from the depths of the hells again, like he did at the Owlin village, this ship could be in great danger. And what will we do against the fury of the tides and the waves of this ocean?
I understand your concerns. It is very worrying. The first time he turned, there was a reason. But this time, do you think he's, I don't know, slipping, losing control?
Rapidly, I fear. Know this, that when the time comes, and I think it is coming, that he inevitably loses control again, and he turns on us. We will be fighting for our lives. There will be no feelings left between us. We will have to fight for survival. We cannot hold back just because he is our companion. He is a good man, but he harbors something evil. And whatever that evil within is needs to be expunged. I want to help him, but I will not let him kill us.
Well, so when the...
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
When the time comes, you have no worries if I'll act or not. I definitely will not keen on dying. And whatever that thing is, it's not Chorus.
After we finish our business here in Eflar and Eden, we may want to expunge some of our efforts in fixing whatever is wrong with him, if we make it that far. It would be wise to not have a pseudo-walking cataclysm walking by our side, at least one that could be unleashed against its will at any moment towards us. Against our enemies, it is fine, like the merfolk. But at any moment, that could easily be you or I.
That is true. Hells, I believe there could be maybe something within, maybe not Eden, but Eflar, that could maybe fix him or hold him off.
We will have to keep an eye out. If we find something along those lines that can help him in any way, we will see to it to actually investigate it. Try and help him, but if he cannot be helped, so be it. We will do what we must. We can't let another Owlin village happen somewhere else.
I agree.
Well, I'm glad we have an understanding, Lloyd. For now, I'm going to call it an evening. We've had an eventful day, and I need my rest after that. I also need to plan a way to restrain him in case he loses control again. I can restrain him, but for a few moments, but I'm trying to think of a plan, something that could help us, but that will take time. But I will get back to you on the subject once I come up with a plan, if I have any at all. Rest well. And then Moros heads to the you know, where people sleep on ships. I forget what that's called. The quarters. There you go. Oof. And my brain sweating there.
I developed a single wrinkle.
I'm glad I contributed.
Thank you.
So as you all hit the hay for the evening, we're going to do the second day of travel. Can someone roll me a d20? And this is where we're going to end the session, so you guys will know what encounter you guys are going to do next time.
Okay.
So let me just get a little sneak preview of what the next day of travel is going to look like. I guess, yeah, Dalton, yeah, if you could roll again. If you could roll again, that's crazy. Wow.
13.
13.
Bro, seeing threes.
Oh, so this is not a combat encounter, so I'll just describe what happens. And this is where we will end the session. So as you guys are sailing along the way, about 30 feet from the starboard side of the ship, you see something massive, gargantuan even, begin to emerge from the water. You see something that is serpent-like, that is beginning to like fly through the sky. It's got very beautiful cerulean blue scales. There's even some gold scales accented in there. It has whiskers coming out of its, like right above its mouth. And it is now flying in the air, and it follows you for this whole day. It doesn't pay you any mind, but it is flying in the same direction that you guys are headed.
Oh. Shit.
It's not Morris says as he looks. Yet. Just flies with you for a day. Nothing happens. Are you guys gonna like carefully watch it throughout the day?
Morris is gonna be locked onto that thing.
Oh, you know, just a giant gargantuan being just fucking casually flying in the same direction as you, you know. You know, nothing happens for the day other than you shitting yourself thinking you're probably going to die.
Yeah, the entire day.
Painfully unaware he's still locked up underneath. Locked himself away underneath the ship, so. in the hold of the ship.
All right. For shits and giggles, it's a rather uneventful day. This being the next day is still flying next to you guys. So, Chorus, roll me another d20.
Natural 20. Fuck, you said don't roll a 19 or a 20. Fuck.
I'm going to describe what happens here. Chorus, you're still locked in your room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moros and Lloyd, as you are kind of just enjoying being on the top deck, feeling the sea breeze, trying to, you know, just pass time while the ship begins to sail, you see that the ocean has become completely still, calm, even. And then suddenly you each feel a droplet on your face. You look up at the sky.
What the hell?
There's no clouds. There shouldn't be any rain here. Then another. It lands on your hand, Moros. You look and you see some sort of crimson thick fluid. And then it starts
Moros's
to rain.
Moros' eyes get wide.
It starts to pour. A torrential downpour of blood begins to completely cover the ship. And what you all see...
Moros, I don't think this is normal.
You see piercing boom, from underneath the ship. Some sort of massive...
Fuck!
Massive! I'm talking... It looks like a giant blade. Boom! One coming from the front of the ship. Doom, 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 doom! From each part of the ship, you see these massive... like skyscraper-sized blades beginning to pierce the ship. And then there's an explosion. Doom! As the ship is completely eviscerated, you all are knocked into the ocean, swimming in a pool of blood. None of you die, none of you take any damage. Your ship is near completely destroyed. There are some lifeboats kind of floating around that were left unfazed. And Chorus, as you're floating in the water, because now you've also been kicked out of the ship, you look around, you're in a pool of blood, and you see the familiar skyscraper-like blades emerging from the water, and you look down and see the silhouette of a gargantuan fish-like creature, and that's where we're going to end tonight's session.
Very well.
Well, we just met the demon god who is cursing me.
Well, everybody, that's all for this episode of Tales of Lothrienth. We would love to thank you for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow us on our social medias. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at ForgeD20Podcast. You can also become a patron on Patreon, where you can get episodes about 3 days earlier than you would get. Make sure you follow us on Patreon as well. Special shout out to our patrons for this evening, Melanie Droz, Melanie Cochialone, and Anakin Gross. We love you guys, and thanks for continuing to give us support.